Good evening, it's Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. Tonight, my guest is Canadian journalist Jeff Dale, and we're talking about his new book, Much More Than a Stooge, Shemp Howard. Jeff, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to talk to you about this book.
It's a pleasure to be here to talk about the book.
How'd you come to write this huge biography of Shemp?
Well, I mean, it was fairly simple. I mean, people talk about inspiration. I looked around. I sort of did a bit of studying about Shemp before. I knew quite a bit of his background. And I thought, you know something? This is the 100th anniversary. This is the year, 100 years ago, that Ted Healy started looking for his stooges and got his first two. So I thought, and there's all these books have been written about the stooges, about 40 to 50, I think, in total, and not one book on Shemp. I just could not believe that because, I mean, he's not just an original. I mean, in a lot of people's opinions, including mine and his wife's, he is the original. So that was the inspiration. That's all I needed to get started on my own.
Well, it's funny because basically Shemp gets no respect from the general audience. It's always everybody wants to look at Curly Stooge films. And Shemp is always seen as a lesser stooge. But after reading your book, I came to appreciate Shemp as actually a film actor, not just a stooge.
Exactly. I mean, and it's you know, the whole idea of the book was not to denigrate anyone else. I mean, I didn't want to take any cheap shots at Curly because bottom line for me anyway, I mean, he's a force of nature. I mean, having to follow his footsteps, I mean, must have been absolutely torturous for Shemp. But the reality is, like you said, he was a movie actor. He appeared in at least 105 films for a number of studios. He even played a completely straight dramatic role in a rather average film called Convention Girl. However, he's the standout. I mean, he did virtually everything. He was respected in his day as being a great physical comedian, and also a great ad-libber, which is something that I think the people today would appreciate very much. Yet, when it comes to the Stooges, there's always that niggling feeling that, I don't know about it. But nowadays, there's a little bit of a change.
Yep.
They now, strangely enough, refer to them as the four original Stooges, and that's usually Shemp, Moe, Larry, and Curly, in that order.
Now, we got to get into his life, otherwise we're going to run out of time. He was born March 11th, 1895, and his name was Samuel Hurwitz. How did he get the name Shemp?
Oh, okay. Well, very simply, his mother, Jenny, she was from the East, I mean, you know, Russia, Lithuania, whatever. She had an accent, very strong accent, so which when she was calling him for dinner, and he was out with his friends, she was trying to say Sam, and it came out sounding like Shemp. And then basically they all looked at each other and said, Shemp, what a great name. So they all started to call him Shemp. And so all of a sudden, you know, Samuel Hurwitz, and by the way, too, his Jewish name would have been Shmuel Hurwitz. But anyway, Samuel became Shemp, and that's it. And the Howard came later when they just essentially changed it for professional reasons.
It's amazing. First of all, the family's got to be pretty incredible because there's Moe, Shemp, and Curly are all sort of brothers in the same family. And the foreword in your book is written by several of the Howard descendants.
Yes.
And they were really happy that you were writing this book on Shemp.
Oh, happy. I don't think that was the word. I think it's delirious. They're very, very nice people. In fact, all the Howards I talk to are like just great people. I mean, you know, you're going to get niggling sort of opinions about various things. You get an awful lot of half-truths and rumors courtesy of the Internet, unfortunately. Like they say, it's like standing in a shower of information flowing over your head. But it's also like standing in a shower of misinformation flowing over your head. But the Howards were great. There's Jill, who's the first granddaughter, Sandy, who's the second granddaughter, and Jerry, who's the daughter-in-law. So I'm not going to mention her age because that wouldn't be polite, but just lovely people. And they really sort of did everything they could to help me out with little personal bits that I would never have gotten anywhere else. And it was great fun, great fun.
I can imagine. Now, even as a kid, Shemp was a prankster.
Oh, absolutely. You know, hurling tomatoes at nearby picnic goers, things of that nature, tomatoes, apples, stuffing papers down the toilet of the school they were going to, that's the technical school. One of them was going to become a plumber, the other one was becoming an electrician, but they basically turned out to be pranksters and stooges, and all the better for the rest of us. You know, we got enough plumbers and electricians, and they make lots of money, so look, the stooge makes some money now.
Now, there's a name that probably most people have not heard of, Ted Healy. He's virtually unknown today, but in his time and for the Stooges, he was a critical person. So can you talk about who Ted Healy was?
Well, Ted Healy, I mean, the bottom line is they didn't use the word superstar back then, but that's what he was. I mean, he was much taller than the Stooges, but then, you know, my cat and the dog next door are probably taller than the Stooges. And but I'd say, you know, about 6 foot tall, which, by the way, was a huge, huge advantage, especially to Shemp. How to learn how to sort of be on stage with a much taller man. He was the act with his initially with his first wife Betty. They did the clubs and they did a lot of on stage work, you know, vaudeville, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, he was a writer, he was a singer, he did some music, he did all the venues. He took them to Broadway, which is pretty incredible. That's the Stooges that we're talking about, who haven't yet been called the Stooges, the Three Stooges. But they got to make a feature film, Soup to Nuts, which was essentially there were four Stooges in that. There was Shemp, who was considered at that point to be essentially the lead Stooge. And then there was Mo, Larry, and a sort of a very quiet, well, he was mute. He just didn't talk. He was like a Harpo. That would be Freddie Sanborn. And the movie was, oddly enough, not what you call a huge critical success. However, the act that got noticed above anyone was, in fact, the three of them. They were known as a number of things with Ted Healy. Ted Healy and the Southern Gentleman. That was one that they were tagged as. So that's really where things start to really change once that movie came out. Things started
Curley wasn't joining them, right? It was basically Moe and Shemp and this other person.
And that was Larry. Larry basically joined them in March of 1928. He was doing an emceeing job Chicago at a nightclub there. He's from South Philly originally. And they loved him. They thought he was great. So, you know, the joke was, because, by the way, Larry, not only was he a boxer in his youth, but he was also a violinist and a very good one. So if you ever hear him tinkering around the violin on some of their shorts, that's him playing. And he could play classical music. But the joke was that Healy said, okay, we like you. You get $90. $100 if you drop the violin. Healy was, it's really a shame. By the way, a friend and another author, Bill Casero, you probably know him, or you may not, but anyway, he wrote a great book on Ted Healy. It's the only one out there, and it really gets down to the nitty-gritty. And Bill was a really big help with me when we chatted about Healy and sort of, you know, like you said, you nailed it. Everyone knows the Three Stooges these days. Nobody knows who Ted Healy is.
Well, he died before his time, too.
Oh, yeah. He was very young. He had health problems. And there's a lot of all kinds of silly rumors about being beaten up by Albert Broccoli and Wallace Beery. And then he died from his injuries. That's not true. I mean, there may have been a scuffle of sorts, but that did not result in Ted Healy's death. He suffered from liver issues, for one thing, and you can imagine why that was the case. He did like his drink, but he was also, aside from all the rumors about him being a ghastly, beastly fellow, he was also extremely generous. And quite frankly, if it weren't for Ted Healy, there would be no Three Stooges.
That's right.
They
That's
just
right.
would not exist.
Well, I want to stay with Ted Healy and Mo and Shemp for a while. These
sure.
these reviews that went on stage, which became wildly popular, like A Night in Venice and A Night in Spain, which you described mm-hmm. really well in the book. For people who don't know, what were these stage productions like? Like what went on?
I mean, they were. I mean, to not go into such huge detail, it was a lot of comedy. There was a lot of music. Healy was a major contributor. Larry and Shemp and Mo, they were the Stooges. They had some good roles. I mean, you know, Shemp appeared in a number of different characters in these things. So essentially, there was a plot line. There was a lot of comedy and a lot of music. They were very elaborate, the Schubert productions, basically. And they were extremely elaborate and hugely popular. I mean, Broadway was, as it still is today, a major, major venue for acts of the day. And for these gents to get on there with Healy, I mean, major, major play. I mean, it's wonderful. And one of the issues is, too, and I should just backtrack one second, the whole manner of saying that Shemp is, by accounts, and basically according to his wife, and I believe her, he's the original Stooge. Mo, in fact, was Ted Healy's childhood friend. And you would think that, well, okay, you can call him the original. I mean, he lays claim to being an original along with Shemp. But the reality is, when you look at the first few years from 1923 up until about 1930, you're going to see all kinds of names there appearing as Stooges. And even Mo at one point packed it in to do real estate like his mom did.
Yep.
So he was gone for a while. But Shemp, if you're looking for one word of all those names, there is one constant, and that is, in fact, Shemp. And it's essentially what his wife was saying, and I think it's spot on. He was really Ted Healy's first professional Stooge, and that's the way you look at it. Maybe he didn't step on stage the very first moment. Maybe he was two steps behind Mo. I don't really know about that. However, Shemp is the constant, so he's the original. And he actually, Shemp said at one point, there's quotes from a number of well-known comedians of the day, Maury Amsterdam or people like that. Shemp said of Ted Healy, he's probably the funniest man I've ever met.
Yeah.
So there, that was it. Amazing fellow.
You're listening to WISN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My guest tonight is Canadian journalist Jeff Dale, and we're talking about his new book, Much More Than a Stooge, Shemp Howard. Jeff, it's amazing because you include a lot of the reviews at the time of their act. And even then, Shemp was considered like the main person, the main of the three of them. He
exactly.
A quote from the press was, the Shemp captained racketeers at one point. So people considered him the central figure.
They did. And there's a good reason. Like I said, he was there soaking up every bit of showbiz that Healy sort of was known for. I mean, he learned how to occupy space. I mean, we're talking, and this is kind of funny to say this, generally speaking, most biographical data tends to see Shemp as the tallest of the Stooges.
Yeah.
And that's not saying much. It sort of ranges from 5'5 to 5'7. I'm a little doubtful about the 5'7. So if you're looking at the height size, you're talking probably Shemp, maybe 5'6, Curly, maybe 5'5, I don't know. And both Mo and Larry seem to come in at 5'3 and 5'4, even though, of course, Mo is the boss in the end. So, you know, there was he soaked up all that Healy had to offer. And this really, really, when you think about it in the later years, when he appeared alongside of Jimmy Stewart, this is Shemp, and John Wayne.
Yeah.
Where did he get that ability? He knew how to occupy the space. He knew how to not disappear into the background because he was a rather short fellow. He knew this, and it was Ted Healy that sort of.
Yep.
I mean, I don't think he sat there. He stood there on stage and you know gave him lessons or anything. But the reality is, you learn quickly, and when you've got someone who's that well known, and you have to sort of look professional in what you're doing, you learn fast. And he did. And he was sort of. And if you go to Soup to Nuts, and you watch the bits where the three are in, while the four with Freddie Sanborn, you'll get the impression. You'll say, you know, okay, it's only marginal, but Shemp is clearly, I would say, the main stooge here. Maybe Mo.
Interesting.
Mo had not developed his bossy thing. Basically, when they became the Three Stooges, Mo adopted a lot of Healy's mannerisms, and he became the boss, you know, slapping, poking,
yep.
you know, and that sort of thing. So Healy, like you said, and I thank you for referring back to him, because he is an integral part of what they became, and an integral part, in fact, of how successful Shemp was as a solo actor in his time.
Well, this brings me to the next part in your book, because they split with Healy.
Yes.
And Shemp goes and starts racking up these film roles. And that's like the incredible thing for the reader to come across in your book. He's in so many films. He starts out at Vitaphone. And he's in a huge number of musical comedy shorts. Talk to me about Vitaphone.
Oh, Vitaphone is fascinating because you get a look at some of the people he appeared with. Georgie Jessel. There's one right there.
Fatty Arbuckle.
Fatty Arbuckle. Fatty Arbuckle actually had just come back, you know, from all that dreadful news about him. And, of course, he was found, he's not guilty. Basically, it ruined his life. It just destroyed him. And, in fact, the ones he did with Shemp, when he's come back, he didn't even live to see the last one that he filmed. You know, that's how tragic that was. Now, but the names he appeared with, I mean, he appeared with Burt Lahr and Jack Haley in shorts before Wizard of Oz. Georgie Jessel. Georgie Jessel was known as the Toastmaster General at that point. But he's the one who's got the gift of gab. But in this particular little short, what was it called again? Oh, Rambling Round Radio Row Number 7. Basically, Shemp plays a sort of fast-talking agent who wants to convince Jessel, you know, he needs this really attractive young woman to be part of the act. And Jessel barely says word. It's Shemp. And the most interesting thing, at least to me, with Vitaphone, is he appeared in a series on Joe Palooka.
That's right. He was, and that's what I was just going to talk about. So this was a recurring character in a series of shorts. Joe Palooka, which was a big comic strip at the time, and a very popular character. Shemp was Nobby Walsh.
And that quite frankly, that got most of the press.
Yeah.
No disrespect to the lead actor. I mean, he did a good job. He was supposed to be the country bumpkin who becomes this lovable sort of heavyweight champ. But the reality is, as you probably got from the book, that Shemp was a huge, huge fanatic on boxing.
Yeah.
And when he was Nobby Walsh, he did it all. I mean, he knew the patter. He knew the moves. He was funny. He looked like he belonged around the ring, you know, the outside of the ring, cheering his fighter on. I mean, he looked absolutely super fitting. And he was so good at it. There was supposed to be 9 to the series. He only stayed for the 7 and headed off to Hollywood and joined his, well, didn't join.
We're going to run out of time, so I want to make sure we include a lot of this. So he started working in films by Columbia, 31 Universal features he was in.
Yes. Wayne.
Abbott and Costello. I want to talk about a couple of names that anybody who watches Stooge films. Jules White is a name that you see a lot in the credits on Three Stooges films. Who was he?
Yes. He was important. He really liked and sort of emphasized the violent aspect of the Stooges. He was a huge Curly fan. However, you know, and people sort of downplay Jules White unfairly. He has said on a couple of occasions, and again in the book, he says, well, to be honest, if you're looking for the most successful of the Stooges in terms of versatility and going out in his own, it's Shemp. There's no question about it. So Jules White, you know, there were issues. Jules didn't like ad-libbing comics, and of course that's who Shemp was. He let Curly get away with it sometimes, but rarely Shemp. On the odd occasion, he would. But yeah, he was there. But there was all kinds of directors, Del Lord and the like, that they loved Shemp. And he did well with those stage directors.
And of course, you talk about a lot of the people who have watched all the Stooges films, Vernon Dent, Christine McIntyre. Oh. These are the people we see all the time, but I never knew that much about.
Vernon Dent, an amazing fan. He was also very good friends with Shemp. They were extremely good friends. They appeared in a lot of films, Columbia Shorts, when Shemp was doing a solo act. Mr. Noisy is one. Absolutely hysterically funny. You know, Shemp's the noisy one at a baseball game. Annoying the hell out of Vernon. You know, he does the slow burn all the way through it. Wonderful. And Christine McIntyre, maybe my favorite of all, in terms of her appearances, the Brideless Groom, when she got back with which this was a stage short. That was the one famous role you probably remembered, Cousin Basil, which he isn't. And so the bottom line is she's supposed to lay into Shemp with a nice right cross and knock him through the door. Well, she couldn't do it because she thought, you know, that'll hurt. I can't do this. And basically Shemp said, stop, stop. Lay into me. Just give me one good wallop. She walloped him. He went right to the door, you know, shook his head. He was pretty dozy at that point and said, now that's what I was talking about, babe. That's the way to do it.
She was
a wonderful physical comedian. She was comedic. She had a beautiful voice, and she was extremely attractive.
I want to talk about Shemp and the Bank Dick, because that's first of all, he's the bartender in the Bank Dick with W.C. Fields. What an incredible role that is in that movie.
It is. Like, you're going to get a lot of comments from people, and some with some justification, that a lot of his funny lines, because he loved to ad-lib and throw them about. And W.C. Fields, by the way, he knew who was the star of the film. It wasn't Shemp. By the way, they got along fine afterwards, because I was told by Jill Howard, yeah, they got together afterwards and actually drank martinis. And by the way, that was W.C.'s favorite drink, martini.
But he didn't like ad-libbing in his films at all.
No, he didn't like that. But the thing is, and people say he had them cut out, that's not true. W.C. Fields was very, very powerful and whatever. He did not have the right or the authority to instruct any of the editors or directors to cut lines. If they were cut, they were cut at that other end. And that goes the same with Abbott and Costello.
Yeah.
Everyone said, oh, yeah, Costello couldn't stand where the lines cut. No, he didn't. And by the way, again, Costello was actually quite good friends with Shemp, and used to appear at those great parties that Shemp and his wife Babe held.
But isn't there rumors that Costello used to follow the Stooges around and steal their bits?
Yeah, and that's again, you know, that just proves to you that it's not just the internet that can spread this nonsense. I mean, basically, they all used to see each other's act, all of them. And they all ran around with notebooks, you know, and did this and that, and maybe some things. I mean, like, everyone thinks, for example, Three Stooges, Niagara Falls, Slowly I Turn.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not their routine. That's an old vaudeville act. Yeah, they didn't invent it. So to accuse poor old Lou of stealing stuff, well, like, number one, if that was the case and he didn't like Shemp, which is not true, and he didn't like his material, then why did he and Abbott keep inviting them back? He was in five films,
right,
and including an independent film at the end called Africa Screams, which also featured Joe Besser, was Shemp's good friend and also his replacement in the end. So you got to take what was said about W.C. Fields and Lou Costello with a huge grain of salt. In fact, I would say take it with a truckload of salt, because it was a different time, a different era, and no, they did not hate each other. They didn't steal from each other. We remember what they say about Milton Berle. He used that part of his act.
That's right.
He used to call him the thief of bad gags, because he just basically said, slow down. I didn't get that. I'm writing this joke down of yours. So Milton Berle did the opposite. He just said, oh, yeah, I stole that. I improved upon it, too.
Now, we're literally down to 1 or 2 minutes. But for me, sure. the sad thing is the death of Curly presented Shemp with a choice. He could go on in his film career, or he could join Larry and Moe and sort of fill in that role. And that was a tough choice for Shemp, man.
Well, basically, there was one proviso, and this makes all the difference. He said, yes, I will do it, even though I've got a career. However, I want this to be temporary because I want to go back. Sadly, a couple of years after that, 1954, Curry got worse and worse and died. So that was it. Shemp then had to stay. I mean, he essentially, and this is another thing they don't recognize, Shemp saved the Three Stooges.
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah.
And then what happens? He dies in 1955 with four films left to go. So enter the fake Shemp. And that's a whole other story.
Oh, my God. But do you ever, I mean, think about what would have happened to Shemp if Curly didn't die and he continued with his film career. He could have been one of the great independent film comedians.
Oh, yeah. There's all kinds of people. Look at after the fact, we'll say someone like Harpo Marx, when the Marx Brothers weren't really doing their shtick. He appears on the I Love Lucy show.
Yeah. You know?
They did that in those days. And if they didn't do that, they popped up on a game show. I mean, Shemp could have been all over the map.
Yeah, he could have. We're completely out of time, Jeff. And there's so much more. There's so much more in this book, too. My guest tonight is Canadian journalist Jeff Dale. And we're talking about his new book. It's incredible. There's an awful lot of stuff in there. Much More Than a Stooge, Shemp Howard. Jeff, it's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure talking with you, very much so.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name's Mark Lynch. Good night.